church, since I've laid my burdens down, every round church. Singing, amen. Amen, amen. Give our children a hand clap of praise, amen. Amen. Today going to be a little difficult for them. They don't have someone standing in front of them, amen. Amen, so let's make sure that we help them out today, amen. Amen, you know how you were when you was a child and someone who you used to seeing someone stand out in front of you and help you through the song. But today you're all by yourself, amen. So they're going to need our help today. So let's make sure we help them today, amen. Amen, amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for this opportunity once again to come out to your house of worship where we can find everything that we need, the food that we need, the nourishments that we need. Father, even the spring of water that bubbles up out of you into us, we need that today. We pray that you share all of you with us today that we can be empowered. So when we leave this church, Lord God, we won't leave it the way that we came, but we'll leave better, stronger, wiser, and more knowledgeable. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 540.
vote. We are providing the announcements for today.
We want to welcome each of you to our church service and to acknowledge any visitors that are here. If you're visiting them with us for the first time, please stand. We don't have any visitors today, so we are just one big happy family.
We have just a few announcements. They are all important.
There are no cards.
Today, the laymen of our church are having an annual Black History Program at 3 o'clock at the church. Dr. Clinton Ross, president of Alabama State University, and the guest choir of Tuskegee University.
The laymen will honor the HBCU president. You may want to come a little early and get a good seat for the program, because we usually have a packed house.
The trustee board meeting is Tuesday, February 18th at 6 p.m.
The senior ministry will be going to Capitol Hill Healthcare on Wednesday, February 19th at 10 a.m. All members are invited to attend. If you have any questions, please contact Ms. Laura Ford or Mr. George Lee.
We have a prayer report. Deacon White is at home. Please continue to pray for those who are sick.
Happy birthday to Felix Parker, who is celebrating his birthday today.
shine. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was a child and we had to learn that song when I had to sing in the choir. Amen. That took me back for a little while. Amen. Amen. Before I pray, let me say welcome back to Mother Clayton. Amen. We are so glad to see you. You and your family. Amen. For you guys being here with us. We missed you. And we're glad to see you back in the house. We was concerned that when you were gone, we had to start calling to find out what's going on. And we got the message. There was nothing wrong with you. Your family just kidnapped you, which that is okay. Amen. 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 So God is good. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father God, we come to you today to say thank you. Master, we are so thankful for you being our God. And we're so thankful we don't have enough words to express just how good you've been to us. And Master, I come today asking that you will allow me to pray this prayer, for it will be exclusive of others. For this prayer is for the black race. And we don't want to exclude others, but we must take a look at the journey that we had to trod. We've seen so many horrific things. And we've gone through so many battles. We've climbed so many hills. Some of us had to crawl our way. Some of us didn't have food on the table. Some of us didn't have clothes on our backs. But yet and still, we trust our God. Yet and still, we love our God. And Master, we understand our battle, for Jesus shared with Peter that he was praying for Peter's faith. For he knew that the enemy was trying to sift Peter like wheat. We know that the enemy is trying to sift the black race like wheat. But we know one thing that we have, that is you. You've seen us through every storm. You've seen us through every trial. You've seen us through every tribulation. You pulled us out of the mud. You pulled us out of the pits of life. And you have placed us on a solid rock to stand. So this morning I come to say thank you, because I know that this is not the end for us, but this is even yet still our beginning. And for we're getting stronger, more wiser, more powerful. It is your plan to make us who we truly are. And so we come this morning to say thank you. Thank you for trusting in us, the miracles that you work through us. Thank you for using us to change this world. Thank you for using us to make this world better. We ask now that you continue to watch over us, continue to lead us, continue to guide us, for surely we still yet have more fighting to do. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 We ask now that the officers come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
Thank you.
to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to uplift your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Thank you. our babies a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hush. Somebody's calling my name. Amen. What shall I do? Oh, my Lord, what shall I do? Amen. I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. I said I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, you see, in order to win this fight, I've got to give God all that is right. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. My mountains get high, I live for Jesus. My valleys get low, I live for Jesus. My way gets dark, I live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, the Lord God's been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Somebody here, they wanna live for Jesus. Somebody here, yeah, they wanna live for Jesus. Somebody here, they wanna live for Jesus all of their days. Oh yeah, the Lord God's been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live all of my days. Come on, join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me. Help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me all of my days. Oh yeah. See, you can't stop me. You made it. You can't stop me. You may as well join me. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Anybody here have that feeling that they want to live for Jesus all of your days, despite how hard they may get, despite your ups and your downs, yet and still you hold true to living for the Lord? Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. And I will try my best not to be too long today. We have a long day ahead of us. An exciting day ahead of us. And let me tell you, make sure you come back and get back a little early. Amen. I met a brother yesterday from Detroit. We traveled all the way from Detroit to be here for this program this evening. Amen. So if you don't think you'll need to rush back, you better rush back. Amen. Amen. Because I want you to come in and tell me somebody sitting in your seat. Y'all know how we get. That's my seat. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, and I'm reading from the NIV version. And it reads, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." Verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Amen. For a few moments, I'd like to speak from the subject, a chosen people. Let me say that again. A chosen people. Today in this topical sermon, I may say some things that can be considered controversial. But I promise that we are only attempting to uncover the truth. Amen? Amen. So don't get offended with me. Get offended with the Bible. Because when we as students of the Bible, we have the privilege to have access to the mind of God. That wealth of knowledge and wisdom will and can open your eyes. But in order for this to occur, you must study the Word. And if you notice, I did not say read the Word. I said study the Word. And for many of us make the mistake of thinking that if we read the Bible, we will have an understanding of what we're reading. But the Bible even shares with us that we need to study to show ourselves approved. It didn't say read to show thyself approved. And the Bible is such a book that you can't just read it like it's a novel. It's not a novel. You can't just read it from chapter to chapter and think that you're okay. For those of us who have attended Bible study, we understand that we ought to read the Bible from thought to thought, not from chapter to chapter. Reading from chapter to chapter leaves out information in reference to the context of what you're reading. So if you read it in such a manner, then you are misreading the Word of God. This word has been given to us to study so that we can know what we ought to know. And when we exercise this privilege, we find ourselves learning truths about the Bible and truths about this world that has been hidden from us. And today I'd like to talk about three of those truths in reference to our people, in reference to those of us who assimilate with those things that from the original people in Africa. Have I offended anybody yet? I'm getting there. One of those truths that I like for us to talk about, we are chosen in creation. The other truth is we're chosen in lineage. And the third is we're chosen representation that death is coming to sin soon. The first one, chosen in creation, when we look at the Bible, we find that this social construct that we have for the term race in reference to there being different races and different diversions of races in humanity, we find that God is not the creator of that precept. That's man-made. Bible clearly shows that God created all men, male and female, in his image. and in his image alone. So when we look at the word man, we're not speaking in terms of gender, but in terms of humanity. Genesis shares with us that when God created man, he created man in his own image. When you look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it says this, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. In 27, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. But the scripture is sharing with us that at the same time, God created man and woman equal. He created female and male at the same time, spiritually. So before man formed what we see as our outer exterior, God created what is considered to be a spirit. So when you talk about man, you're not talking about the outside of man. You're not talking about how we look. You're not talking about the size or the color of our skin. But when you should be talking about man, you're talking about the spirit of that man. For man is a spirit. Remember that God operates in this manner. He creates things first spiritually before he creates things physically. So before he created man physically, he created man spiritually. And he created male and female at the same time. Because we have to remember that God is a God who works in wholeness. So when he creates something, he creates one end of the spectrum and the other end of the spectrum. He does not create man without creating female. So he created man and female at the same time spiritually. But when he reached down into earth and created what is considered to be our outer body, he created man first. Or should I say he created the body for man first. Amen? For he created woman and male at the same time. Before he formed a man out of the dust of the earth. When we look at Genesis 2 and 7, it says this, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So this means that before God shaped man, he created man. Or shall I say, before God created the body, he created man. In order to make this body that we think is so important, God had to put a spirit in it. The importance should be in the spirit and not in the outer exterior. But as people, we consider what we see more important than what we can't see. That's why sometimes we treat God like he's less than because we can't see. And we treat the people who we see more important than God. When God should always be the most important. Amen? But we find that God created man in his own image. Let me share something with you. The root word for humankind, or should I say for human, is humus, the Latin word. And also, it's the root word for earth. And when you look at humus, you find out that humus is rich dollar deposits in the soil that gives the soil its color. So when God chose to reach down and form this body, he chose us. Because when he reached down and chose the body, he chose it in Africa. And in Africa, the soil is dark clay-colored soil. So when he reached down and he selected a people to start with, he chose you. So if anyone tells you that you're not worthy, tell them you're chosen. Not only am I chosen, but God decided to start with me. Do you see how that can be offensive to other people? Because you are what God created first. Do you not understand how people can be jealous of you and have an issue with you, not because of who you are, but because of where you come from? When you look at blackness, don't think of yourself as being less than. Don't think of yourself as somebody who's made from something else. You are the original people. Even when God reached down into Saul, he made sure he grabbed Saul. That was God. So when he made man, he made you. When you look at mankind, you can't have man without the flesh. So when you take humans and man and put it together, that's how you get human. God made you first a spirit. Then he made your body a spirit. That's why Martin Luther King speaks about the character of a man versus the color of his skin. Although you were chosen by God to be the original people, what does your character speak? Although you were chosen, are you living up to the standard that God has for you? The Bible speaks of us being a royal priesthood. If we are a royal priesthood, then may I ask the question once again, are we living up to what we are supposed to be? God started with you and he chose you, then there's something that ought to be in you that keeps you living according to the standard that God set. He chose you in the creation. Second, he chose you in lineage. If you go and look in Genesis chapter 10, you'll find the richness of our history. You'll find that generally, they teach that we're from descendants of Ham. Yes, they try to throw the curse in there, but we're not going to even talk about that because that curse was not for Ham. That curse was for Canaan and Canaan alone. It was not even for Canaan's people. It was just on Canaan. But the Eurocentric theologians try to tell you that all black people are cursed. And what I'm trying to tell you today is we're not cursed. Why would God choose you first and then curse you? Does that make any sense? So when we talk about biblical things and we talk about spiritual things, you have to understand that there's something special about you as black people. Because when God put himself in you, he intended for you to carry out the nature that he placed in you, and that nature that he placed in you should reflect the nature of him. Why do you think people think that you're magical? They don't think that you're magical just because you are. They think you're magical because God created you to be magical. Yes. Doesn't that mean there's not a human side of you and you don't feel? But what that means is that there's some things in you that are special because there's a direct connection to you and God. How can you say that, brother? Well, when we look at Ham, Ham was Noah's son. In Genesis chapter 10, we find that God had destroyed the earth because of the evilness of man. And he replenished the earth with Noah and his family. And one of Noah's three sons was Ham. And Ham was a man of color. Now, it's amazing how theologians start with Ham being a man of color, but don't start with Noah or his wife being someone of color. Let me help you understand. You don't get color out of white. I'm trying to help somebody here today. Yes. Have you ever seen a white woman have a black baby? No. And if she did have one, it's because she has lineage of black people in her family. And when that black lineage came up, it shocked the heck out of everybody. But even scientifically, it's been proven that blacks can have white children. Or shall I say, have features that look white. So you can get white from black, but you can't get black from white. I'm not trying to preach a divisive theology today, I promise you. But it is Black History Month, and I just want to uncover the truth. We've been dealing for so long with this Eurocentric theology in reference to the Bible, even in the Bible class, and you guys really need to come to the Bible class because we really get deep into some stuff. And this past week, some people I thought was going to kill me before we left. Because I talked about the issues with the Bible itself. Because we have to understand that when you talk about Eurocentric views, there are Eurocentric views in the Bible. That's why you have to study in order to find what's really there. If you read it, you're just reading the perception of another man. But if you study it and use it against other things, you can find what the truth is really. And we find that Ham had four sons. Mizraim, guess where he settled? Egypt. And they try to tell you that Egypt is not part of Africa. Has anybody ever seen Egypt separated from Africa on the map? But Eurocentric theology teaches you that Egypt is not a part of Africa when Egypt is directly a part of Africa. What they want you to, they don't want you to understand is your lineage is tied to the very first civilization that was ever created. Europeans received their civilization from the Egyptian civilization. And in the time when they went and saw the Egyptians, they were not light-skinned black people. They were very dark-skinned black. Ham was a man of color. He also had another son named Cush. Cush settled in Sudan and Ethiopia. He had another son named Put, who settled in Libya. And then he had a son named Canaan, who settled in Palestine, where you also find North Africa. And out of Canaan's family came the Jebusites and the Canaanites. Do you know who came out of the Jebusites? Jebus, who was one of Ham's grandson, he also had to come out of him the nation that was first to settle Jerusalem. So when we talk about Jebus and the Jebusites, we talk about the original inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to help you see something. So out of Ham came people who looked like you and I, who were the first to settle in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was built by people who looked like us. But you would never know that if you don't look in the scripture and you don't study to find it in the scripture. Joshua 3 says that the Israelites conquered Jericho, which was Canaan, the city where Rahab, the Canaanite woman, lived, who was blessed by God because she protected the Israelites. And out of her came a few people that we all know. Because Rahab married a Jewish man named Solomon. And from their marriage came Boaz. And out of Boaz and Ruth's marriage came Obed. Out of Obed came Jesse. Anybody know who Jesse is? Jesse is David's father. King David, who the prophet said that the restorer of Jerusalem would come through him. Do you know who the restorer of Jerusalem is? Jesus. So Jesus is not blonde-haired, blue-eyed. He does not look like Kenny G. But they want you to believe that what you are reading is not for you, when it actually is for you, because it's your story. Not only did God choose you in the beginning, but he chose you and selecting you into his family. Now, you understand that most of us, all of us, we don't choose our family. We just have to live with them. Some of them we want to get rid of. But God is powerful enough where he chooses his family. God chose you to be in his lineage. You're not excluded from the lineage of Jesus. You're included in Jesus' lineage. And then last, because I know I'm getting long, you are the chosen representation of the death that is to come to sin. Jesus' mission was to restore Israel's kingdom. But that was not his only mission. He came to free man from the power of the grave. He came to conquer sin and death. And the only way that he could do this, he had to die. But as he climbed the hill of Golgotha, carrying his cross, the Bible says that he couldn't go any further. And a Roman soldier chose a man by the name of Simon. They say he was Simon of Cyrene. Let me help you understand something. Cyrene is from North Africa and is today's Libya. He chose a black man to take his cross, Lord have mercy, and follow him up the hill of Golgotha in order that he may be crucified so he can symbolically show you that even when you die, you will not go. Because of the power that he had, that one day you will get up. What I'm trying to tell you, as black people, you have been chosen to represent that death will soon come to see. In other words, you in front of man represent unto man what his sins are. When the white man sees the black man, he sees the power of his sin. You want to know why they treat you the way they do? They think the way they do about you? It's not because you're not good people. You are actually showing them the power of their sin. I was getting prepared for that. God, I don't know how I'm going to share this with them. Because they're going to sit and look at me like I'm crazy. Because this is a controversial way of thinking. But you must realize that God don't do anything by accident. It was in God's plan to choose Simon, a man from North Africa, to carry. Do you know what the cross represents? The cross represents the struggle and the battle of man. It represents death that's coming to man. But then it also represents not only death, but one day you will get up and you will live again. So when you have someone who is considered to be human carrying the weight that Jesus, the Lord, couldn't finish carrying, you must understand. That's powerful in the world that we can't see. Satan knows who you are. Satan knows what your purpose is. And his whole plan is to cut you off from getting to where God has for you to go. Well, what I want you to know today, my brothers and sisters, not only did he choose you, he equipped you. The reason why we're still here is because he equipped you. The reason why we were able to endure slavery because he equipped us. The reason why we were able to endure struggling because he equipped us. The reason why we were able to endure them destroying our cities because he equipped us. So when you look at yourself, know that not only are you chosen, but you equipped to handle the struggles of your time. Because your God put you here for this time. Your God put you here to handle what's about to come down from the White House. Your God equipped you not only to handle it, but he equipped you to be blessed in it. When you look at our history, we've been blessed in every area of our lives. Every time we got an opportunity, we show how powerful we are. Every time we had a chance, we showed them just who we are. I come to you to tell you today, God equipped you to be more powerful than you think you are. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there will be one, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. Father, we come to you to say thank you, Master, for this day. Thank you, Master, for you choosing us as a people. We pray, Master, that we can live according to the bloodstained banner, so that when people see us, they see you, that you may be lifted up. For you said, if you be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Continue to use us to be a tool of drawing. Allow us to lift you up, Master, with the way we live. Allow us to lift you up with the way we talk, how we treat each other, how we walk in this world. For this world surely is dying and in need of you. Let us be your representation. Let us show them the way. We pray, Master, that as we do this, that you go with us, that you watch over us, protect us, and keep us until we can turn back to this church where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let it heart say amen.